Well, welcome to our show about crossing boundaries. First, we have a very nice piece from Melanie Harrington of the Philadelphia Harritons about the boundaries between teachers and students, or just teaching boundaries. Then, you'll be stuck in your chair listening to a nice piece from Anna Davies about fun boundaries, or the boundaries that aren't needed to be crossed to have some fun. Then, you'll hear a piece about power boundaries and relationship, race, all sorts of things from yours truly, Trayvon Justice Gray. Then, we'll get to the main events from Jenny Perez about relationship boundaries. And then we'll end it off with the best one. The great Naima Nicole Powell about parental boundaries. Here comes Melanie.
Hello, my name is Melanie Harrington. For this podcast on crossing boundaries, I interviewed my mother, Charlene Harrington, about teaching boundaries and the responsibilities of teachers in their work environments.
I am a teacher for the School District of Philadelphia, and I currently teach pre-kindergarten Head Start. I have taught first grade and third grade.
Charlene seems very happy teaching Head Start. She's been with them for about 10 years and has found a home among the children and the staff at Duckery.
My class consists of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. They're 3 before September 1st, and they're 5 right after September 1st if they miss that kindergarten cutoff. Some of them are the brightest kids ever, and they just need to wait another year. So I'll challenge them with harder work and individualize what we're doing with them. And some just turning 3, August 15th, and they're the babies of the bunch, and they need that nurture and love and care. So then you're doing the opposite with them. You're reading to them and sitting with them and talking with them and looking at pictures with them. You're not challenging them as much, but you're giving them that nice social atmosphere to learn. We do a lot of role-playing, a lot of scenarios, and if I'm reading a story that might have a good social learning skill in it, I'll emphasize it while I'm reading. So I'll use literature a lot, and I use songs a lot. But it's no more, oh, have your mom or dad or have your parents on it. And you can't say guardian to a child. So you say, oh, have mom or dad read it. Or you go show grandma, and don't forget to show your aunt. Because you know who is responsible for who within certain weeks of the school year. So then this way, you know, a lot of times when I'm talking in class, I try and include everybody's relative when I'm talking. So this way they're not saying, well, but I don't have my mom and dad living with me. You know, I have my cousin taking care of me, whatever. So I include, when I'm talking to the kids about their relatives, I include those relatives in a conversation. I use literature. I use music. We do role playing. And then there's like, what if? And a lot of pretend that goes on. So that's how I address those types of things in the classroom. And then we have a lending library and the kids do a little picture report. And it's always 3 kids out of 19 that are constantly using the lending library. And they're like, well, I didn't do a picture. I don't have a paper hanging up for lending library. So then maybe at the beginning of that, we'll sit with that child one-on-one and go through a book and then let them draw a picture. This way they get something hung up. So this way they're not feeling like they were left out. And they don't get a chance to do good things, too. Because you want them all to feel like they're important. You want them all to feel like they do nice work. You want to give them that self-confidence.
Every teacher structures their classroom differently. They have different ways of learning and teaching their students. No two teachers teach the same way or believe in the same ideas of teaching.
I'm the type of teacher, some teachers believe in read around the room, and they put all kinds of tools around the room, and they post everything. So if you're working on a problem, you can look up at the wall and say, that's an idea I could use for figuring out algebra. There's the equation over there, or there's the word I needed to know for a sentence I'm writing off the word wall. Or, you know, so some teachers, it's their preference on how they have the students use the tools. They might have them posted around the room, or there's some that are very visual, and they like to give their students visuals, and therefore they have the number line on the desk, or the 100th chart maybe posted in the math area, or they have the globe posted for social studies and different things, and that, so they're more visual, so then they realize that the kids need visual aids as well as auditory learning and you know, the other different dimensions of learning. So it depends on the personality of the teacher, their experience, what grades they've previously taught, if it's a grade they've been teaching, if they're teaching a younger grade as opposed to an older grade, and vice versa. It depends on the kid's maturity in the classroom. Maybe they're beyond that number line. They don't need a number line, you know? So there's a lot of different components that would help a teacher make up their mind on how they teach and what they teach, how they go about it.
Being a teacher is not as simple as setting up a classroom and teaching a lesson. There are certain needs that need to be met in order for a child to be able to access its learning side.
The kids can't learn unless their physical needs are being met. So that's one big difference since I started teaching that I've seen. Even in first grade 10 years ago, I had one child out of a class of 30 who wasn't eating, and she was getting herself up and dressing herself and coming to school, and she was coming to school late. But out of 30 children, she was the only child at the time that had issues like that. Now I'm seeing at least anywhere from 10 to 12 kids out of 19 having issues with being washed, dressed, fed. So it seems like the needs of the children have gone up.
Teachers have a ton of responsibilities that they are held accountable for. A lot of people think that teachers go to school, they teach, and then they come home without a care in the world about the children they are responsible for throughout the day. There's a lot more to a student than just being a number out of 30. They have physical needs that aren't always met while they're at home.
A teacher can't teach unless the children trust the adult they're with those 6.5 hours a day, 7 hours a day. A lot of the children that come to school have trouble forming relationships not only with peers but with the teachers, and it takes a good amount of the beginning of the year for a child to get used to a new setting, a new teacher, to form relationships so that you can accomplish your educational goals and then they could achieve what they need to achieve.
Teachers have 30 children to educate. Not all of these children learn on the same level or share the same thinking processes, especially when the class is so diverse in age. There are, however, certain things that a teacher needs to consider and think about while teaching a class that may have children who struggle with learning or social interactions.
If it's a child that has, like, learning difficulties in math, then you're going to try different mathematical strategies, or maybe activities that you send home, or maybe activities you do privately and during the school day with that child, or pairing them up, whatever it is. If it's a child with behavior issues, you're going to try and address that behavior in a positive way. You're going to try and offer problem-solving strategies so that child could increase more positive behavior in the classroom or with peers or with staff, whatever the need is. So you're going to exhaust every possible scenario, outcome, strategy to address that need. Teacher is responsible for the whole class as a whole learning, not just the children who don't have a problem.
There are certain struggles that come with the job of teaching and certain aspects of it that people don't see outside of the classroom.
There's never, ever enough time in a day. There's never enough time in a day to do paperwork. Paperwork is always there, before school, after school, break time, lunchtime. There is no break time, lunchtime. It's just finding time to do everything. And then if you have a class that's extremely needy, it's extremely hard to stay on task and on topic and on pace with your curriculum if you have to keep stopping to address certain issues, behavior issues, social issues, academic issues. This tomorrow. I could do this tomorrow. So there's always a tomorrow.
So what is one of the hardest decisions you've needed to make in your teaching career?
Probably to call Department of Human Services on families, because it's a hard call to make, especially if you've been dealing with family for more than 1 year and you want to keep giving people the benefit of the doubt. the things are going to change or they're going to do something, and sometimes they try and then they just revert back to old ways, old habits. I think calling the Department of Human Services is always the roughest, because no matter what happens in a child's home, home is always home. And to interrupt home for some children is so detrimental. Even though mom's not washing them and dressing them and waking them up on time for school, mom's still mom. So when mom's taken away or they're taken away from mom, that's like really detrimental. So I think sometimes, you know, reporting abuse or neglect is hard to do. But you have to do it because you have to look at the well-being and the future of the children, not just what's going on at the moment.
Even though teaching has its ups and downs, Charlene informs us that she wouldn't trade what she's doing for the world. The children are what make teaching worthwhile, knowing that you made a difference in a child's life. Thank you for listening.
Good job, Melody. Now, we're going to go to the one, the only, that I know, Anna Davis.
This is a little insight on the tetanus shot, my friends and I favorite hangout in summer of 2011. What would you say is the biggest boundary that we've crossed in the past few years?
Probably tetanus.
Would you be able to explain what tetanus is?
Yeah, it's just a place down in Maniac. It's an open area, but it used to be an abandoned factory that we all used to just like chill at. It's private property now. It's all boarded up, and I mean, there's just fences all around it.
Remember both things that went on when we would hang out at tetanus?
I mean, it was just pretty like basic. We all just used to like chill there while our friends would just skate. They made like a little skate park there, and it started like people just started to like hear about it or like just like come across it randomly. And I remember this one time actually when these kids from like Virginia came down and they randomly like one day we all met up, you know, it was a random like summer day, and we were there and these two kids were there. And they started talking to us, and they said they were from Virginia, and they were just looking for, like, some places to skate and whatnot. And so they started, we started being cool with them and whatnot. They were leaving in, like, a week. And then they brought a whole bunch of furniture down. They, like, hooked the place up. I mean, we didn't really give a shit about tennis. We just kind of went there to, like, sit on the ground and hang out. But they really, like, they came down and they built us a fire pit. They brought a couch. They brought a chair. They brought a huge umbrella. Like, so much. So, we also used to have tetanus parties.
And what is a tetanus party? What would you guys do?
I mean, it would be, like, a whole crew would come down from the neighborhood, like, 30 of us. And they would just, like, before it got dark out, they would just skate and skate. And then, like, then we would start setting up a fire, and then we'd get the fire done. Some of our friends would, like, since it was, like, abandoned, it wasn't, like, out in the public, some of our friends would just, like, graffiti all over the walls, and, like, it would just be, like, fun, and we would just, you know, chill and, like, with each other.
Were there any crazy things that would happen there?
I mean, yeah, I remember this one time, our friend Jeff, he was just a little out of it that night, and he decided randomly to just, like, set the couch on fire. Our couch, like, the couch that the Virginia kids brought to us. They put so much effort into putting this couch at tennis, and Jeff just decided to, like, light part of it, one of the cushions. He threw a cushion in the fire, and the flame just rose. It was just, like, out of control. And, I mean, there were always these people. Like, there was, like, it's like, all right, so here's tennis, and then there's the canal right outside the fenced up, like, border of tennis. And then right behind the canal is the towpath, and then along the towpath are all, like, the backs of the stores. Okay, one of them was Hikaru, and that was, like, directly across from tennis. And it was, like, up, and, like, there were just always these Asians, like, looking down on us, like, all the time. Like, they were, like, the only ones that knew about what went on down there. And, I mean, thank God forbid if they would have, like, called the cops on us or something. Thank God they never did, but...
You know, since it's called tetanus shot, did anybody ever actually have to get a tetanus shot?
I mean, well... I do recall this one time when we were all hanging out, you know, We were just there. They were all skating and whatnot. And they were over by the window, as we like to call it. It's like, it looks out. It's like, you look out the window, there's no windows there. It's like, you know, they're all like broken and shit and whatnot. But you would look out into like the river. You would see the Schuylkill River, and right above that, the Manayunk Bridge. And they were all like, they were skating over there for some reason, even though it's really not safe because that's where most of the like big holes and like, I don't know, just like all the leftover scraps from the abandoned factory were. So our friend Steve, he was just skating there one day, and he accidentally skated into a big hole, and he just completely fell, and he was like holding on. Like, if you go underneath tetanus, there's like, you can see where this hole is, but it's completely blocked off all around. So if you fall into that hole, there's really no way out, like, from down below. So Steve really, like, when he fell, he was like holding on for his dear life. His skateboard already fell, and he was just like screaming, and like, it was really bad. So we put him out, like, finally, like, we all noticed him just like squealing and whatnot. So we pulled him out, and we put him onto like the ground, and he just started like screaming at the top of his lungs. We were all so confused because we thought he was just like hanging there, you know, just chilling, but really he just started screaming. He goes, "I broke my ribs! Oh my fucking god, my ribs!" Like, and then we realized like he was really in pain. He was like, we were just like, "Oh, you're fine, don't worry." But he really must have been in pain. So then finally, I just kind of like took him back to my house because I live like right around the corner, and gave him like frozen peas and told him to, like, you know, just chill for a little and like lay down. But that could have been bad. Like, he could have got really, really, really hurt. He could have actually fell in the hole, and we could have had to like call like an ambulance or something to come and get him out. Like that would have been bad because we were already breaking so many rules. Like,
God. Did anybody ever find out, like the cops or like people in the neighborhood, that you guys would go in there?
I mean, it was like eventually people caught on because there was a parking lot right next door, and I mean, it's not usual that you see a group of teens just like walking on the train tracks like and not coming back, like, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, people caught on eventually, and like my family, like, they'd ask me where I'm going. I'm kind of like an honest child. I'd be like, "I'm going to tetanus." They'd be like, "Oh, what's that?" But like, I mean, I wouldn't really explain myself. They just kind of knew where it was. But I do recall, like, this one time, I remember this one time when this little boy, he lived, I think, around the corner, like, up on Crescent Street or something. He was walking his dog on the train tracks, and we noticed him, like, really, like, eyeing us down from the fence, and he was really staring at us, and he kind of had, like, a dirty look on his face. He was outside the fence, but we were, like, inside, just, like, doing our thing. Our friends were skating, and this kid was just really staring at us. It was, like, so I decided to go and say something to him, and me and Anna, we just went over to him. We were like, "Hi, what's your name?" Like, we were trying to be nice, because he was really, like, like, looking at us. So we were trying to be nice. We were like, "Hi, what's your name? You have such a pretty dog. Oh, this and that." But his name was Adolphus. So we were like asking him just like some questions, really getting friendly with him. Like, "Oh, where do you live? You have such a pretty dog, this and that." He was like, "You guys cannot be in there." And we were just so confused. We were like, "You're telling us?" Okay. And then he just like started kind of like, he kind of got mad at us for some reason. He was just like, "You guys can't be in there. That is private property. I live around the corner. If I see you guys there again, I'm going to tell my parents." And we just thought that was really funny.
There were also some not so bright times at the tetanus shot.
Our friend Gage, he was hanging out with this homeless person. I mean, what is this little like 7-year-old going to do about us? I mean, honestly. So that was that. And I remember this one time, our friend Gage, he was hanging out with this homeless person for a little. He was hanging out with this homeless guy that was his friend. He met him at Rittenhouse. He met him at Rittenhouse downtown, and he just, I mean, he just started hanging out with him because, like, he was cool. He was homeless. I guess Gage was getting drugs from him or something or another. I don't know. But he brought him, like, around, like, Manayunk, like, around us. And it was just kind of, like, it's kind of sketchy at first. And you see, we have, like, an ice cream shop, like, right up the street, like, Chloe's Corner. And I was working one night. And Gage, like, brought him over. And, like, he was, like, talking to us and, like, saying all this crap. And, like, I just was getting off work. So I left and went to tetanus. All right, then my brother calls me. My brother Nick, he was working then. He calls me and he's like, Chloe, who is this guy that's here with Gage? Because Gage, I think Gage was working there at the time too. He was just helping out, I think, that night. Yeah, he was. And then my brother calls me all pissed off. Like, Chloe, who is this guy hanging out with Gage? I was like, I don't know, like his friend, I don't know. He was like, all right, well, he's being really disrespectful. And I asked him to get off the, get off the lot, and he wouldn't. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell. Like, I don't, do you want to, like, tell me what's going on? I was like, dude, I'm not associated with this guy, like, at all. So just don't ask me. And then Nick was just like, all right, well, I'm going to kick him off. So he might be coming down to where you are. I was like, cool, whatever. And so then, like, sure enough, the guy, like, ended up, like, rolling up at tetanus, like, yo, your brother's such an asshole, like, he kicked me off the lot, like, fuck that, blah, blah, this and that. And I was just like, alright, chill, like, I don't know you, we don't know you, like, there was just a whole, like, squad at tetanus, and we were just kind of, like, looking at this guy, like, who are you? And so then, finally, like, I texted Nick and told him, because he was being an asshole. And this guy was also really drunk at the time. He was just always drunk. He had, like, he was homeless. He had no money, but he had a bottle of whiskey at all times. So, and his was just, like, empty, and he was really drunk. So then finally, my brother came to tetanus and just walked straight up to the guy and just punched him right in the face. And this guy, like, he was just too drunk to even react. All right, he immediately fell, but then got up and just was, like, he was just making a fool out of himself, like, my brother was just like, come on, hit me, like, and all this crap. And then the guy was like, the guy, like, swung at him and then, like, tried to, like, attack him, just like, but he didn't know what he was doing with his arms. He was just like, he just jumped on my brother. So then my brother, like, ended up really, like, beating him up. And I mean, I don't know, like, it was just pretty dangerous. Like, we made him, like, we told him to leave, he left, and it was just kind of like, it wasn't really good to have people, like, coming around there, because just, like, people like that, because, you know, shit could have went down. That guy could have, like, he could have been really drunk, really hurt, and could have just, like, passed out somewhere outside of tetanus, and then, like, the cops would have been called, like, an ambulance, and then they would have asked him where he was when this happened. They could have been like, oh, he could have been like, oh, at that place down there, that abandoned factory, and, like, they could have came in, like, you know, but...
You remember when Squirrely came down the first night we met him?
Oh my god, yes. Squirrely. Aw. Okay. Squirrely. He is just... Squirrely is Squirrely. His real name is Eric, but that's not his real name. His name is Squirrely. Okay. So, he came down from... Actually, he came down from D.C., and he stayed with my friend Brendan for, like, a week.
Wait, where did you meet Squirrely? Like, where did he come from?
Oh, our friends used to go to this camp called Woodward, okay? So, all our friends ended up getting in the same cabin. Like, our whole crew was just, like, gone for a week. So, we were pretty lonely down at the shot. And, so they ended up being in a cabin with this kid named Eric Straven, whatever. And, named Eric. And they all called him Squirrely for whatever reason. And they became really close with him. He was just like one of them. So, I mean, they ended up getting really, really, like, close, getting their numbers. And then after Woodward, it just, like, it wasn't enough for Squirrely. So he ended up coming down. And then when he came down to chill with all of us, we met him for the first time at tetanus. And I remember that day when we met him.
We were like, who's Squirrely?
Yeah, I remember that day when we met him. We went down the tetanus, you know, and then Squirrely was just like, yo, I want to make a party line video. And I was like, all right, I'm going to be in it. Anyway, so then he made this whole video with everyone in it, and it was just like a bonding experience.
Now, do you still see Squirrely?
Of course, we all still hang out with him. I mean, we all, like, we talk to him still. He's like, he's like, every time he comes down, it's like, yo, Squirrely's coming down. Like, oh shit, like, we're gonna have so much fun. Like, what are we gonna do? Like, we have to actually do stuff.
He's just like a bundle of joy.
He really is. He's like a walking happy pill, honestly. Like, when Squirrely is just funny, like, everything about him just makes you laugh. I mean, he's really stupid too, but he can be like really obnoxious too. I remember this one time, there's like our crew down in Maniac, and then there's like the people up on Ridge. We call them Ridge Rats because, I mean, that's what they are. But I mean, all right, so of course, like, Squirrely and a couple of our friends, they were all getting on. I started calling stuff out to Squirrely. And Squirrely, being Squirrely, decided to just go off at him. All right, he was just like, who do you think you are? Like, all right, come on, are you talking smack? Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He just, like, was just going crazy on him. And Brian, like, they're, like, Ridge Rats, like, they're just, like, they're, like, reckless. They're, like, rude and just, like, obnoxious. And, like, they are disrespectful. Not, like, they're really disrespectful. So, and they know that where we hang out. They know that we hang out at tennis. Like, a couple of them actually used to skate, too. But, I mean, they moved on. Whatever. So then, after all that happened, Squirrely almost got in a fight with these guys. All right? And then the next day, we go to tennis. All, like, the whole, like, skate park that our boys have, like, been building up for, like, over, like, the whole summer was just completely, like, in the canal. Across the fence and in the canal, like, everything, like, all the rails, all the ramps, everything, and it was just, are you serious? Like, our couches, like, everything, like, and it was all because of Squirrely, but
but we forgive him.
We forgive him. We have to forgive Squirrely for everything, and for breaking, like, Swall, too, everything, but it's always a fun time when he comes down.
Would you say this is, like, the whole tetanus thing was a good experience?
I mean, overall, definitely. I mean, I just recall, like, when tetanus was, like, ending, there were all these, like, trucks. Like, it was just, like, around, like, the end of the summer, and they, like, started doing some sort of construction. I mean, construction, like, that was just not even happening. They took out, like, all the trees and all that, but, like, that's it. But there were, like, trucks parked inside of tetanus. And they wouldn't be there, like, the people who own the trucks wouldn't be there at night. And this one night, like, it was my birthday, it was kind of, like, coming to, like, the end of the summer, in, like, the end of August, and we threw, like, a huge tetanus party, and everyone, like, kind of, like, got really, like, you know, out of hand, and our friends were, like, climbing on top of their trucks, and, like, graffitiing all over their trucks, and this and that. And, like, everything, like, we made a mess. And we made a huge mess down there. And then the next day, like, after, like, the blur of that night from whatever happened, the next day we came back, it was all boarded up. All the tennis, our entrances, all the fences, like, they were just, it was all, like, completely boarded up. And, like, we were just kind of, like, lost. Like, it was weird, but it was a weird feeling. But, I mean, we dealt with it. I mean, my friend, of course, Anna lost her iPod that night.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't that night.
Or, yeah, you're that right. It was before that.
Yeah, it was before that.
But we tried. Oh, yeah, it was before that. And we went back the next morning at, like, 5 in the morning looking for it. Oh, God, that night. Oh, my God. But, I mean, a lot went on this summer. I mean, that summer of tennis. Like, so much between, like, just, like, with guys, and, like, it was us, like, discovering, like, having, like, trying to, like, have fun, but in all the wrong ways, and it was fun, though. It was an experience.
There were many boundaries that were crossed in summer of 2011, but, you know, sometimes in order to have fun, you have to cross them boundaries.
is time to get serious. Here comes me. Main event, basically.
There are boundaries with age?
Well, of course there are.
Explain.
Well, of course there are boundaries because, of course adults get to do more things than teenagers. And people younger, they don't get to do as much. They don't have the same opportunities or will be able to work and drive and stuff. So there are boundaries, of course.
Power struggles, I guess, between teachers and students. I bet you have a lot to say about that.
Struggles of teachers and students?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if there's any struggles. I know that there's things that keep them apart or give them separation.
So,
and people younger, they don't get to do as much. They don't have the same opportunities or will be able to work and drive and stuff. So there are boundaries, of course.
Now, another thing that came up earlier was, in school, the power struggles, I guess, between teachers and students. I bet you have a lot to say about that.
Struggles of teachers and students?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if there's any struggles. I know that there's things that keep them apart or give them separation.
So you believe there's a defined line between where a teacher stands and where a student stands?
Yeah.
And that has to do with their ranking and power, I guess you would say?
Well, yeah. Because teachers do have power over students. That's why they're able to teach us, of course.
Okay. Very nice. Another thing came up earlier was boundaries on gender. Gender boundaries? You know what gender is, right?
Of course.
Okay. Do you think there are power boundaries between genders?
Yes, I think there are power boundaries between
genders. Oh, wait. Before you answer, can you define power boundaries?
Power boundaries is like, can't really define it. I know power boundaries when certain group of people, they're over, they're, or a person is like, they're separated. Like, one would be in a top a social class, and the other would be in a lower social class, and they have power over the other because
okay.
of where they stand in society.
Oh, so all right, society boundaries. All right, no, but back what we were saying about gender. What's the gender power boundaries?
Gender power boundaries are, well, people don't really like to talk about it, but I'm open to talk about gender boundaries. Basically, there's female and male boundaries, and these all change according to race, but they're basically still stand in the same lines as male would be more dominant to female. They would get more money and jobs, and they basically would get more than what a female was because females are supposed to be inferior to males. They're not supposed to get the same things. They're just supposed to be here to please male or just do what they want.
Hmm.
So this is why females are not allowed to be, they're not allowed to, well, they're allowed, they try to say they're allowed, but men don't want it for them to be in power over like Hillary Clinton when she was running for presidential election. They wouldn't let her become a president. They'll rather have someone else, like Barack Obama.
So you believe, all right, so really quick.
Poor example.
How's that a poor example?
Hillary Clinton should not be president for the simple fact that I agree that women are too emotional when it comes to things. So that the judgment is not logical in some ways, sometimes.
Wait, but it's still an example that females, that they don't want females and males to be in.
Now, I'm not saying that if a male and a female was on the same level, they shouldn't get paid the same. I do. But in certain aspects, women when they are in charge, they're too emotional. Women in charge are very emotional. And that I've seen for myself.
When?
When I worked for a particular company. When I was working for Blue Cross, all the women in charge always had drama going on. Okay? They catty. They just, if they don't like you per se, just because of a female tendency to just dislike other women, they're going to treat you different. They're not going to judge you off of your work. They're going to judge you off of the way they feel. See? So logically speaking, men are more logical when it comes to them terms. Now, not to say that men won't favor other people, but majority, they're going to be more logical. Status, a female in charge does not know how to put her emotions aside when it comes to things.
Wait.
I, having my own little company, like if I was to have a client that I dislike, I might even abuse it a little bit. Like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this, that, or other because I just don't like this person. I don't have to. That's more emotional speaking, okay? But then I do have a flip side where I say, you know what? This is money. But if they piss me off a little too much, guess what? They out. Their party will be crap, and they will be out on the curb, and I don't care. Because that's where the emotion will come in, because then you just don't care no more. I don't care. Because that's how I feel, and then can't nobody tell me anything. So I can tell from an exact standpoint, even being a small business owner myself doing it, that's what it's going to be, you know? But I try to be as logical as I could possibly be. But I do know my emotions can get wet.
Okay, I may hold that thought really quickly. It might even relate to this. So, what you were saying about small business owner and you being in charge, does this impact the way you be a parent?
Relationships are connections that each and every person has with another person. In an open relationship, there is no commitment. So different open relationships have different level of commitment and understanding. People get into open relationships for different reasons. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but also with family, friends, and others. This interview explains the different perspective of different age from guys and girls on what is a relationship and what it means to be in one. You will notice the different opinions and thoughts on what different people will say about relationships. So what is a relationship?
A friendship with, and you choose to pursue.
A relationship to me is when, like Kayla was saying earlier, when somebody, if you really are interested in a person and you pursue to get closer and to really to get to know each other.
I guess something between two people. That connects them?
An interaction or bond between two things.
These days, people hardly believe in forever love. Majority of girls and boys prefer to go for open relationships without tension. In fact, words like true friendship or friendship really don't exist between a girl or a boy. You will get lots of people who believe in move-on relationships. I have been through a good, strong relationship with another person that lasted almost a year. A good experience I had in life, and a life lesson it was also. But it wasn't just on a guy, but also a good experience with family and friends. In my opinion, there is such thing as a strong relationship. You just have to have luck. Interviewing of different age, you will listen to the different opinions, what each and one has to comment. What's your opinion, and why do you think that?
Well, basically based on religion, we don't, as a Christian,
But our religion, I guess it's not okay to date around different and guys and just seeing what you like. We believe that God has one person for you, and when you find that one person that you think God has set for you, then you pursue that person.
I think a relationship is real important, because I don't think God made Adam and Eve, so I don't think he intended people to be by themselves.
Because a relationship could be between, you know, like it could be a business relationship, a family relationship, you know what I mean? It could be a personal relationship. It could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So it's something that connects you to someone else, I guess.
Sometimes relationships doesn't work out as it always seems. Not only as in going out with a guy or girl, but also in family relationships, within mother, father, or even siblings. Relationships can be very difficult to manage, especially when you have an issue with your own family. One of the most difficult manners to comfort with respect to family relationship is that you don't have to control the entire relationship yourself. It is hard to combine for not having that special connection with your own parent, and by not having them by your side. Everything happens for a reason. One of the interviews that was done, my friend Kayla, who is a senior and going to college now, never experienced the relationship with her mother. Now that she is growing up, she never realized that she had the support that she needed it.
I don't have a relationship with my parents. I have a relationship with my grandmother, if that counts.
Why don't you have a relationship with your parents?
I don't know my mother's whereabouts, and my father passed away when I was younger. It didn't really affect me, my relationship with, like, not having that relationship when I was younger, because you don't realize how important your relationships with other people are when you're younger. But when you get older, like this past year, having to apply for colleges and stuff and take the SATs and stuff and just having to grow up in a year when you're, like, turning 18, that's when it really affects you, because you don't have that relationship and you don't have that bond or that person to, like, build you up and support you. I guess what my mother, our relationship struggle, I see her every here and there whenever she decides to pop up, but we struggle because I'm not willing to forgive her.
I mean, how come? Like, what happened between you and your mother?
Just her leaving me, my brothers, and my sisters. It was just something that I'm not able to forgive, because I don't see in any way why that would be right for a parent to do.
Maybe Kayla didn't have the relationship she always wanted with her mother, but she did have a chance to get to know her siblings. Being separated by family issues is a struggle for everyone, and it really affects the relationship with your own siblings.
Well, our relationship is fine with my brother and sister. I feel like since we didn't have that relationship with our parents, it's...
Are you closer?
Yeah, we build each other up, and we're each other's support, and we give each other the love that, like, we didn't receive from our parents.
Every person has different ways of seeing relationships with others. Once you begin building up, it's either giving it a try or letting it go. So what about a relationship with others? Is it important?
I feel that's very important. I know in rough times when I didn't have that relationship with my family members or anyone, people from my church, and the relationship I have with others has helped me get through a lot of situations, and just having people be there for you is really important.
Relationships with others, I like to get to know people and who they are for who they are, their personality. I don't look at somebody, even though when you see somebody, you see their outwards, you never see their inwards until you get to know who that person is.
A strong, healthy relationship can be one of the best supports in your life. Everyone's relationship is unique, and people can come together for many different reasons. What makes a healthy relationship? Staying involved with each other, getting through with conflict, keeping outside relationships and interesting alive, and also communicating. So maybe what advice can you give?
Like, watch your words. if you say something stupid, like tell them that they're ugly, you know, or say something disrespectful to them, they'll take it into different terms because you're their boyfriend.
I think, I don't think you should, a lot of girls talk about just going out and like thinking this guy is hot and oh, I want his number and oh, I want him to be my boyfriend, but I don't think that's the mentality you should have. I think you should just go out and do the things you love and just be you, because once you're, like, it sounds so cheesy and, like, cliche, but when you're you, this person
loves you for who you are, because you love yourself first.
And they, when they fall in love with you, they fall in love with you as a person. You don't have to put up this front, and then when 8 months later, they still have those expectations, but then the real you starts to come out, and then they start falling out of love with you, and then the relationship gets crazy. So don't like seek for a man, just be happy with the things you do and the right man will come.
Like Kayla was saying earlier, you have to love yourself and be true to yourself and be genuine before you go into a relationship. And it's true what she said, don't put up a front from the beginning, show them who you are from the beginning, and they should do the same likewise. And that's how relationship work. You don't want a few months later or a year later find out that that person wasn't the person they were really pursuing because of personality or anything else or different views.
So that's basically it. A boundary about relationships, either good or bad, family or friends, opinions or decisions with full experience.
It's main event time. It's time for Naeem, Nicole, Powell!
Today we have my great aunt Brenda and my great uncle Bernard. I'm interviewing them on parental boundaries, how they grew up versus how I'm growing up. My aunt Brenda gives some very interesting points. You'll hear them as we progress through this interview. Please keep in mind,
everybody has rules and regulations because there are consequences.
Was it a different type of environment back then than it is now? Or was like...
I personally think the younger parents, this generation, are a little more lenient with their children. I don't know whether it's due to their work schedules, two family income, single parent households. I'm not saying that they're not raising their children correctly. I'm just saying they're a little more giving and stretching.
If you had a foster child right now, like today, would you be the same way, or would you go right back to the old ways of how you raised your kids and how your mom raised you? Or would you be just as lenient as other parents? Because I guess the style of parenthood and the style of parenting has changed from when you were a child and when you were an active parent to, well, an active parent of a teenager to now. So, like, would you change your parenting styles in any way?
Probably not.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, that kid would be teased.
They probably would have been teased.
Why?
I'll be home at 6 o'clock. You're a weenie.
You trying to go out to the movies over the weekend? No. Yeah, what time?
You're not going.
10? 10? I gotta be in the house by 6. What?
Okay.
That's horrible.
We were able to see a different side of my aunt, and my sister intruded in our conversation.
But the younger people, like in their age group, maybe not necessarily 12-year-olds.
I'm not 12.
I said not necessarily. What part of that sentence did you miss? And there again, you'd have got a whooping for that.
When asked about her standpoints on allowance, my aunt gave some very interesting views.
Because I've always told my children, you can come and tell me anything, but don't lie to me. Because I can handle the truth, but don't come in here with no lie, because if you lie, I'm going to kill you when I find out that you lied. And it's that simple. And I used to tell them, too, are we recording?
Yeah.
When you're going to school, I'm not going to give you an allowance for making good grades. That's what you're supposed to do.
Don't you don't know how it is until you have your own.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will find out, and you be saying,
Oh, they told me.
They told me.
That concludes our interview. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, night, afternoon, whatever. Have a wonderful time.
Yeah. 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 Monster, Monster, Monster Podcast. Monster, Monster, Monster Podcast. Jenny, Jenny, Jenny Perez. Monster, Monster, Monster Podcast. Monster, Monster Podcast. Monster, 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 Monster, Monster Podcast. Jenny, Jenny, Jenny Perez. Monster, Monster, Monster Podcast. Ruff, bark, ruff, bark. Ruff, bark, me. Monster podcast, monster podcast, monster podcast, monster podcast, monster, monster, monster podcast, monster, monster, monster podcast, rough, bark, rough, rough, bark, rough, bark, rough, bark, monster, monster, monster podcast, Jenny, 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 Perez, monster, monster, monster podcast, 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 podcast. Master, 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 Podcast. Master, 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 Podcast. Jenny, 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 Perez. This is Master.